Are we on? Am I there yet? Are we there? Yeah, I know, really. Are we there yet? Am I there yet? We have to just shut up until we get the big thumbs up from the board operator. Thank you so much, Maitri. Anyway, hello and welcome back to Our View with Catherine Bradford.
Arlene Tognetti.
And Juliet Moroni.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we
are here.
Yeah, we are here. Speaking of getting high, I wanted to mention, yeah, that, you know, we were talking about wine and, you know, everyone kind of wants to have their things that they enjoy. I don't blame them. I mean, we all do. And, I want to mention that I think it's sort of exciting because California activists now are doing what they can to move to make marijuana legal down there. So, yeah.
Yes.
Did you know that, Juliet?
Yes. I think it would be an excellent way to take care of their budget.
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, they just recently had, I guess, a victory over a proposed ballot measure that, It said Oakland pot activists fresh off a victory at the local polls on taxing of medical marijuana, which we've talked about on the show before. Do you remember how much revenue they make and yet it's not taxed?
They were making tons.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get taxed now. They wanted it, but they wanted to be taxed.
Yeah.
They wanted to help out the state.
I think it's fantastic.
I think that it's wonderful.
So what they're if the bill passes, which I think it should, and they need, just to get it on the ballot, they need 434,000 signatures to get this on the November 10, 2010 ballot. What are you laughing at?
I think there's 36 million people in the state of California. It'll probably take them 5 minutes to get 400,000
votes. Take long.
They should start with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll tell you. He's probably the first to sign because he wants to solve their problem.
That's right.
But anyway, yeah. You know, and I mean, I don't know. This is a huge issue. A lot of people talk about it. A lot of people are either yay, thumbs up or down. You know, I don't think there's anyone that's middle of the road about this. I think it's pretty much, you know, people have pretty strong opinions one way or the other. So I think it's going to be great. I think that the concerns certainly about the increase of drug abuse are, to me, in my opinion, quite absurd. I mean, I think pot is so prevalent that if someone is really going to make a choice to fall into an addictive habit, abusive habit, they're going to do it whether or not it's illegal. What do you think, Juliet? If it's legal or not, you know?
Well, I think it would be great to legalize it. And there's a couple of attorneys in Northern California that are trying to pass a bill stating that not only to make it legal, but also to wipe people's records clean that have been previously arrested.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
You know,
how far back?
not
admission of guilt here, not at all.
Yeah, I don't know, but I also remember reading somewhere that it was over 50% of California population were in favor of legalizing it. So,
first of all, let's face it, we all know, and we're going to talk about that in a couple minutes, about the woes of California. They're a bankrupt state, and they're just not doing well. And even with the new budget that's just been signed, in a difficult situation with Arnold Schwarzenegger, there's just so many, logical things that you could do that would help a great revenue stream for them. I think it's great. And allowing people to grow it in their backyards, their garden plots, you know, they said a 25 square foot patch, you know, and they're allowed to have a minimum of 1 ounce on them. Possessing, so if they are traveling around, they can have that much on them.
And they're not allowed to sell it.
Yeah, they're not allowed to sell it, you know. Now, what do you think about this? Of course, you know, as I said, the El Cerrito police chief, Scott Kirkland, thinks that that the public health care costs increasing because of the drug abuse increasing would outweigh any financial gain that may come from
legalization.
What do you think about that? I mean, I don't know about that. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, I don't know what I think of him, but I think our public health care costs are high right now, no matter if it's abuse, no matter if it's this or that. We need to do something to get the tax base going.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do something.
Yeah.
And to legalize marijuana, to me, takes the criminal element out of it.
Right.
Like the black market on drugs in general is taking a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Taking a lot of things away from our society.
Right.
So I think he's off about that. My feeling is we need to legalize marijuana for many reasons. And the first one is for medical marijuana, which is taken care of in California. Now, what's interesting, this is called the Tax Regulate and Control Cannabis Act of 2010, which set no specific limits on the amount of pot adults could possess or grow for personal use, which is good. The measure would repeal all local and state marijuana laws and clear the criminal record, like Juliet was talking about, of anyone convicted of a pot-related offense. Now, clearing the law, that's neat, clearing their criminal record.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people walking around that have this as a criminal record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dogging them for jobs,
mm-hmm.
for, you know what I mean, to get new work.
Mm-hmm.
Some people won't, a company won't touch them.
I'll tell you.
So that's hurting our economy as well.
I'll tell you what I really am excited about if this passes is the inability of, and please forgive me if there's innocent victims out here from this one, but, you know, and I don't mean to imply that this is always done, but I have in my own life known of a couple of cases where ounces, you know, that measurement of marijuana was actually planted on people while they were pulled over for traffic violations when the cops didn't like what was going on and they were arrested for possession of marijuana.
Yes.
And I'm sure that there are people out there that have probably heard that and if not had it happen to them themselves.
Sure.
So, of course, that wouldn't be, you know, and certainly in California, that would eliminate that possibility right away, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It'll be interesting to see that the effects the consequences that will happen because, you know, it. For one thing, though, even though I think it should be legalized, it is not good for your health. You know, it can cause lung cancer, and it is addictive. And the good thing is that people that are if it's more prevalent, will people and are more apt to carry it on their person, will they be being under the influence while you're driving or using equipment, where will you be able to smoke it? Are you only going to be able to smoke it at home? I would assume, and not in public.
Why?
Right?
Why?
Well, you don't want it because you get a secondhand high.
Yeah, but you know what? The other part of that too is like, didn't California outlaw smoking in restaurants? I mean, doesn't California pretty much have a ban on smoking in public anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference between it, whether it be marijuana or that? I mean, it applies under the same law,
of not smoking
in public. So they just have to say that includes...
They have to change the laws.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think anybody would... Yeah, well, they do smoke in concerts and stuff.
Yeah, and I wonder if you'd be able to buy it, you know, on the potato chip aisle in the grocery store. The aisle would be renamed Munchie. Welcome to Munchie Aisle. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, they're selling it now at special, you know, where they do, where it is legal. They sell it, you know, they sell it as like a what do you call it? I was going to say apothecary type style.
Right.
You know,
it
looks like a bar. You go in there and there's a guy, you know.
The medical marijuana thing.
Selling it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll see. I think, you know, one state, and certainly it's probably California, land of the fruits and nuts, you know, that would be the perfect land, you know, perfect state for starting to, you know, lead the way with this, because they're the ones that are the most progressive, I think, a lot with what they're doing there. And certainly the people that choose to live in California a lot of times go there because of the liberalness of the state. So, you know, we'll see. I think someone needs to take the lead, and I certainly would vote for it. So maybe I'll go down to California and sign the petition, although I have to be a Californiaite,
And there's also mentions here a third bill by, let's see here, Assemblyman Tom Amiano. Just to tax and regulate marijuana just as if it were alcohol, kind of in that level.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that'd
be
great. Yeah.
There's three different bills out. They're going to see which one makes it to the ballot.
I think it's interesting. I think it has a whole huge marketing potential, you know, flavored marijuanas like they do with beers and stuff, you know. Why not? You could do all sorts of crazy creative things with it, you know. Well, let's keep an eye on it and go for it. But we're going to hang out.
This is an ongoing story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's hang out in California a little bit.
Talk a couple
things about California. Juliet, you want to talk about the water?
Well, there was an article in LA Times.
Since we're talking about water, last week.
The demand in Los Angeles for water has reached an all-time 32-year low.
Mm-hmm.
And starting in, was it June or July? It must have been June. They increased their mandatory water conservation and... because they're experiencing the worst drought on record in the 130 years that they've been. They've got 3 inches of rain that they've had. They normally have 12 inches of rain over a year period, and they've only had 3. So they definitely get a big congratulations.
I mean, aren't they fantastic? Can you? That's the Los Angeles area.
So what I'm wondering is it what you're saying then when they say the water demand in Los Angeles has reached a 32-year low? Is this that the people have been so compliant?
Yes.
Following the regulations and restrictions around rationing and the rules just to conserve water, that they've used the least amount of water in 32 years?
Yes.
Okay, in 1 month or in a couple of... In what was the time frame?
It was compared to... over a one-month period, it was compared... You know, it's summer there, too. This is summer months. And they said even though that it wasn't as hot as a summer as they have had in the past, that they still decreased their water. And the things that they have been doing for years in California, you know, aren't from California, they don't serve water routinely in restaurants.
You have to ask for it.
You have to ask for it, and then you will get it. It is now illegal. You cannot hose off your sidewalk, wash your car.
Right.
Only if it's like you got dog poop or something in your driveway, you're not allowed to hose off your driveway. You know, you're only allowed to water your lawn twice a week.
For 15 minutes.
For 15 minutes. Well, before 9 a.m. and after 4 p.m. or something
that makes
like
sense.
That.
Right. That's perfect.
And usually it's and I believe you're not allowed to run your washing machine between those hours either.
Mm-hmm. Yes. True.
There's shorten your showers. They've been doing that for a long time.
Yes.
I remember when in the 70s we were putting bricks in the toilet.
We all did that. We're from California, all three of us.
Yeah, all three of us, regulators.
Sure.
Yeah, I lived through that. Yeah, that was crazy.
I think, you know, they recycle things. They take the gray water and put it on the plants outside the house.
Yeah, that's
you know,
a good
too,
idea.
You recycle the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's they've done very well in the last 25 years. We have to give kudos to them, especially Los Angeles.
Well, water's been a big issue for Southern California. Being born and raised in Northern California, I remember always the controversy around, you know, dividing the state into half because Northern California was always so upset about shipping their water down to Southern California, and that's truly what happens.
I know the
source of water, you can imagine. Last week we talked about, you know, the death of water, death by traveling, remember?
Yeah.
And we talked about how by the time it gets out of your tap, out of your faucet, it's made such an arduous journey through the pipelines, left and right turns all the time, that it's actually fractured the molecule of the water. It just doesn't look as good, as it did before. So you can imagine what it looks like in Southern California coming all the way from other states and Northern California.
Yeah, true.
And you know what else is really interesting? They also compared the drought that they had during the Depression. They called it a Dust Bowl. And I was, you know, wondering if there's some type of energetic correlation between, the finances that California is having and a lack of water.
Hmm.
True.
Know?
True. That's interesting. That's a good focus.
Yeah.
Julia.
Tell me what you mean by that actually.
Well, okay. It's definitely an energetic repeat. This has signatures, you know, and water has an energetic signature and a lack of water. So they've got a lack of water and which is life force.
Exactly.
Money is also an energy. It's an energy. You use it as an exchange, you know.
Right.
They use it as an exchange for a product or a service. And you work hard, and here I give somebody money, and that holds an energy. And the last time this happened so as severely was they called it in the Dust Bowl during during the Depression, where there was also a drought. So it's a repetitive pattern, and you know, and it'd be interesting to see what the astrological event is, you know, that happened during the Depression then.
Hey, Arlene, will you do me a favor for next week?
Yeah.
Would you do a chart, an astrological chart for the day and the time that Schwarzenegger signed the budget?
Yes, I'm going to. I was thinking of that. I will. I'll bring one.
And let's take a look at what goes on with regard to that, because it's very interesting. And, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about that in just
a
couple of minutes.
Yeah. Repetition. There's repeats to cycles. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be good, Juliet.
But I like Juliet's take on the water thing. When there's a lack of water, that's also the lack of nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Symbolically, like in astrology and tarot, the metaphysical world, If you lack water, you lack emotional support. So there's a, you see depletion. That, look at everybody in California. They're very upset. They're not getting support. They're not getting, they're losing what we call the life force part of water. And they want to do, part of this new budget is to add desalinization, you know, to the, to California. To use desalinization, ocean water to desalinate for agricultural use only. So the drinking water can be left for the people.
I know that I believe 6% of their water is already from desalinization.
Yes, but they want it, they want to bump it up to 20%.
Wow, that's interesting.
Excellent.
You know, Arlene, I'm going to just do a quick rearrangement here, and because I think we should just go jump right in since we're talking about California and talk and just launch into this budget cut. the budget cuts are what ended up happening with Governor, because you know we've talked about the IOUs, the fact that they weren't able to reach their fiscal, you know, budget and sign it, and there's been lots of controversy, and the Democrats are firing, spitting mad, I guess is the right word there, because what happened was they approved a budget, and then Schwarzenegger came in with his line item veto authority, and went ahead and vetoed out $656 million more dollars worth of items off of the budget.
Off the shelf, right.
And I had mentioned this earlier in the show in the last hour, and I want to bring it back at this point back again here, because we were talking earlier about the outcroppings of not having social programs or programs that support mental illness, that support the poor, that support, you know, education programs for things such as this. And yet here we go, a perfect one here. Schwarzenegger went ahead and his vetoes include, now listen to this, folks, $80 million from the child welfare programs, $61 million in county funding to administer Medi-Cal, which is California's version of Medicaid. So bye-bye, poor people, $52 million from AIDS prevention and treatment, prejudice against the gays, $50 million to Healthy Families, which is a low-cost health insurance program for poor children. Again, poor people and children. And then everyone would be upset about this, but a smaller amount, $6.2 million more from state parks, which is going to probably mean some restrictions or closures for some of the beaches, care of the beaches, as well as the parks in California. And California is a gorgeous state, offering lots of environmental activities for the public and the world to enjoy.
And it's a tourism dollar.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to. But then he says here, what does he say? Those are ugly cuts, and I'm the only one that is really responsible for those cuts, because the legislature, they left, you know, for their vacation. They didn't want to make those cuts themselves.
Right.
He took it upon, like you said, the line item veto.
Yeah, interesting. Here's the other part of that, is that their financial director, Michael Genest, I guess, he warned that even though with this revised budget, with the cuts that Schwarzenegger did, California is likely to still need to borrow between $8 billion and $10 billion to cover its cash needs for the year.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. I know,
so
that's a lot.
So that's like saying, okay, we cut all this away, but we still are going to have to go find someplace to borrow $10 billion.
You know what we should do? We should get the medical marijuana. Everybody grow it. Everybody get taxed. We can get the parks back open. We can get the AIDS prevention
high
back.
And not care about
it. I'm thinking of that. Look at $80 million, $52 million. Add it all up. Maybe there's about $200 million there.
Yeah.
We could get through taxation of marijuana. We can get it back in the system.
I wonder what the numbers are of people who back to dope here again. I wonder what the numbers are of how many people would really raise their hand and admit that they smoked dope in California.
Well, I don't know. They said 56% of the population in California
believes it's,
that
needs
it
to
should
be legalized.
And
what's the California population now?
36 million.
36 million
people in California.
Yes.
There's about 9 million in Los Angeles County. In our state of Washington, we only have 6 million people.
Exactly.
Amazing, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
We could fit into the state of California, the whole state, Washington.
Hey. Yeah, that's
great. I'll tell you, we might be able to get a... what do you call it, secondhand high, if the wind starts blowing from California.
When the jet stream comes north.
Yeah. Or if you're flying over, just tell the pilot to lower the windows and fly a little lower.
It would be funny. You fly over L.A., you won't see smog. Oh, that's marijuana.
That's a good one.
I think, when I looked at what he had to cut, I know it's not, 80 million sounds like a lot, but it's not really in the state of, you can generate $80 million by doing something different on a tax base. So I'm thinking, here, he cuts this, let's pass the marijuana law. You know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It'll cover a lot of
I'm
going to
go buy stock in Duncan Hines brownie mix.
Brownies.
And it reduces the risk of lung cancer. Come on, eat it. You don't have to smoke it.
You don't have to smoke it.
You don't have to do anything you don't want to, Juliet. You're a grown up.
Hey, that would be a really good recipe. You could start selling recipes. That would be a good recipe.
That's
book.
A good, that good yep. recipes. You could do a food channel, Food Network
next
channel.
Next new
show.
Network start. New, the new fat,
nude.
That would be a good one. Yeah. The next the mini, Food Network star, a show mini, just about how to cook with dope.
That's interesting.
Or herb salad.
Marijuana lasagna for dinner tonight, folks.
Oh,
herb
my God.
Vinaigrette.
Yeah,
marijuana pasta.
Oh yeah, well no, it, you know, okay. Well, that's sort of funny, but it's really no joke that we've got. I don't know where the salvation's going to come back, but you know, again, this is in all seriousness for me. You know, a really, it's just like, oh my God, you couldn't add insult to injury anymore by stripping away some of these programs that the poor, you know, and the you know
for the
challenged
for the
need and. You know, yeah. I'm just saying earlier with all these incidents of the you know abuse against children and stealing babies out of people's stomachs and
well,
and all that, you know.
And I know I've been camping recently in California, and a lot of the parks that they used to be state parks, well, and some of them still may be, but they're subcontracted them out so that there is a you know another entity that takes care of the parks, that manages your reservations and keeps them clean, and they have, you know, camp posts that are paid.
Yeah, right.
And there's one of my favorite campgrounds now. We went there, and it was all run by volunteers.
Oh, that's good. Well, good. That's a great solution.
Well, I think that's great.
They get somebody outside, and the indoors, there's so many people that love it. They'd rather volunteer their time than see it go downhill, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a fantastic solution. You know, speaking of getting high, another way to get high, and I know, Juliet, this is a thing that you sent me. Why don't you talk to him about the... where'd it go right here?
Virgin Galactic?
Virgin, yeah.
Oh, my
Virgin.
Favorite.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
Well, Virgin Galactic, in case you haven't heard, is...
and Virgin is in no ways referring to a young girl that... No. It's not about young girls.
No.
Tell what it is.
It is about space travel.
Yeah.
Richard Branson and... is starting a space travel that will be available to the public.
They're booking, taking reservations
they're
now.
They're taking reservations. A ticket costs $200,000.
Wow.
And
do you get to choose your seat?
It'll be...
I like an aisle row.
You can pick your seat.
You get peanuts and a Coke.
You know, it's... I don't know how long the flight is, but it takes about three days of pre-flight. Training before you will get to go on the flight. It holds six people, six passenger astronauts and two pilots. And I think it's totally, absolutely exciting. It's got an incredible website. He is also, Richard Branson is also such a philanthropic, incredible man.
Yeah.
And that gives back so much to the world.
Yes, he does.
Private space travel. Imagine. So what does this mean? You're just going to go up and orbit around the Earth and then come back in again, like the space shuttle?
Yeah.
Wow.
But
and you have to have, like, you know, the whole suit on and everything.
You'll have to, you have to go through 3 days of pre-flight.
Pre-flight.
Training.
Don't be afraid. Your face is going to just basically rip off, but don't be afraid yet.
Like. Well, you do definitely, they said pull some strong, you know, some strong G's, but you also, once you get up there, you can, you know, take the seatbelt off and experience zero gravity.
Yeah. Wow.
And you also, they said it's extremely quiet in space. So I just think it's absolutely awesome. And thinking about this, though, because...
It's truly a zen thing, you know?
Well, and you know what all the astronauts have said, you know, from the Apollo missions and all the space travel, the Challenger and everything, they always talk about their view of, or their belief system changes after they go out in space.
Oh, yeah.
They all believe in God. They look at our beautiful planet with no borders. It's just, you know, it's home.
Mm-hmm.
They
Mother
look
Earth.
At our planet as home.
Mother
and he is giving this gift of bringing this available to the public,
wow,
to people who are able to afford this,
yes,
$200,000 ticket. Hopefully these people will, it's going to change their lives forever, and hopefully they will start making changes in their life.
Yes.
And who knows how that's going to reflect, you know,
yes,
peace and, yeah, and a global unity. And
I believe that.
And I really believe that that's probably why he did it, knowing him.
Yeah, and there's I think it's really affordable, too. And, you know, I mean, $200,000 well, bucks when you think about it.
That's I mean, that really, you know, is true.
Yeah, put on a credit card.
It says, let's see here, it says that.
I'll put on your credit card.
Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, really, yeah.
On one of the articles, it says here more than 200 potential astronauts are believed to have already paid deposits,
wow,
for these flights.
Wow, wow.
Including actress Victoria Principal, scientist Stephen Hawking, and Princess Beatrice.
Interesting.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, of course.
Wow,
that'd be fantastic.
That's wonderful.
Have you seen the craft that they would be taking up? They must have built it if they're going to do it in 2010.
Yeah.
Does it have big windows? Picture windows? Does it have drink holders on the side?
They're doing test flights still.
Yes.
And they said that the actual one that will be going out won't be out till the end of the year. But it does have a
So they have pilots and an aircraft that they can already, and they already are leaving and,
yeah,
going into orbit and coming back down again.
17 test flights already, but they want to just make sure that it's really safe and work out all the, you know, all the kinks.
How come you don't hear more about that?
I've been hearing about it forever. I've been hearing about it.
How come you don't bring it on the TV and show you?
You don't see it on,
like, they talk about, you know, the space shuttle going up all the time. Why don't they say, oh, here, you know, Virgin's coming in for a landing?
Well, you'll probably be hearing about it more and more as it gets,
fantastic,
you know, as he starts it up.
Where does it land? Where's the landing?
In New Mexico.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Roswell?
That is neat. Roswell.
Roswell, New Mexico.
Old memories.
Yeah.
There is just an air show in Oshkosh where the White Knight 2 made an appearance.
You know how we last week we talked a lot about UFOs, and I'm going to tell you what. Well, this is going to blow that whole thing out of the water, because if people go up there and tour around in orbit, you know someone's going to come back and start talking about that.
You bet.
And I'm wondering why they haven't. The Virgin people who've gone up for 17 flights, they must have seen something. I wonder why they haven't come back down and started talking about that.
Oh, no, I think they will.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think they will start.
Well,
you know,
it's fascinating. Yeah.
I think it's great. That's
We'll put the website up on the
that's awesome
on
website.
Yes, that's fantastic.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The listeners have to go look at the vehicle, the spacecraft, I call it, and the it's just a real neat, beautiful website, like Julia said.
That's going to be on a lot of people's bucket lists.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think so. And speaking of bucket lists, here a little segue into something that I thought was a really poignant and beautiful article that came out this last week. You know, they're words of wisdom that come out of the elderly is sort of fantastic, and there is a research that comes out of a company called Priceless Legacy, and they are actually a company that does interviews with older adults, and they turn them into life stories by either putting it in print or putting it in a video format, which is so cool.
Oh,
it's a company that goes in and interviews the people, and then they have it as a recorded, you know, recorded document for the family members. And I would love to have, you know, my grandmother was a musician her whole life and was a jazz piano player and went into clubs all around the San Francisco Bay Area and played her whole life, you know, and I used to go in with her because back then they didn't care about little kids going in the bar. And, I wish, like, in any of my lineage, it would be neat. I had grandfathers that were artists, and, you know, I just wish that, you know, would have had a neat recording or something with documentation and photos and stuff instead of. But I think it's fantastic. But anyway, they did this poll, and they said that they did an analysis of all the projects showing the top five lessons that were shared by the people ages 65 to 104.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are. Number one, the simple things matter most. Wow. So that's lesson number one.
That's lesson number one.
Yeah, simple things matter most. Number two was humor and time cure most pains.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Number three is there's more satisfaction in giving than getting. Service to others is the most satisfying activity.
Yes. Wow.
It is.
That's
my tagline, isn't it? Number four, I love this one. Choose your spouse carefully. It will most likely be your most important decision.
Which one?
Yeah.
Number one, number two, number three.
Yeah, in these days.
I understand.
Well, you know, I mean, those people got to think about it. Those people who are in that age bracket probably had fewer divorces than what's going on
right now.
Well,
they were stuck with them their whole life. That's why.
They didn't get divorced. So
it wasn't a choice.
Yes. They had to learn how to get along.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, I guess so. Social pressures. And the last one, work hard in a field or role that you enjoy, which is certainly coming back in the forefront of popularity now, isn't it?
Yes.
Sole purpose, find your passion, all of that.
Everyone's go for your bliss, follow your heart. You bet.
Yeah, I think that was really quite fascinating. So we have to thank them for that, and that's interesting.
That's neat.
Quite different from that poll that I talked about, that Michael Robbins, when I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, he wrote the book, Be Yourself. Everybody else has already taken.
Yes.
I love that one. But he said they did a poll recently, and they showed that the number one and number two goals of the young now are, number one, get rich, and number two, get famous.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's the number one and number two goals of the youth right now. So interesting difference, you know. Maybe by the time they get to be in their 60s and up to 104s, they'll be singing to a different song.
Well, no, you know what I think? I think that at this time in our life, everybody does have that opportunity with YouTube. You can become even if you're 15 minutes of fame.
Yes, definitely.
You can become famous, and you might not make the money, get rich, but you could become famous.
You'll be recognized.
Yeah.
But you really think that, do you know any examples of anyone who's put something that's gone viral on YouTube that's become famous because of it? I mean, where he's made money?
Personally?
Yeah, unless it's tied back to their website and they've gotten so many hits on their website that they've made money from getting, you know, advertisers on the website.
I don't know anybody personally.
I don't mean personally, but just even a story of someone.
Oh.
Like who? What? Give me an example.
I'm
brain dead.
Okay. I am too now that I can't even think of her name. Susan from...
Boyle.
Susan Boyle. Huh? She went viral.
Boyle. Yeah, but do you think that she's famous because of the YouTube video?
Another one. The girl who danced for Obama or who was cheering for him, and she had this video on YouTube, and nobody knew about her before that.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that, she got these millions of hits.
Oh, wow.
And she got a package too, like a deal to do a video, live video or something like that. She was really popular. Right in the beginning of his, the whole, when he was
inaugurated.
Yes.
Well, Susan Boyle got a lot more offers for work because of the YouTube. Millions saw it.
I don't know, 400 million
or something.
Oh,
it was
almost a half a billion. Yeah.
You
could never get that through any advertising.
Is she the number one?
I think she is the number one on YouTube. Yeah.
Right. Isn't that fantastic?
Right.
Wow,
exactly.
Just for singing.
And now, the interesting thing, you bring up famous people. What, you know, Michael Jackson, some of his old book and old videos and old songs, they weren't selling at all until he passed away. The second it was put on YouTube. Now they're going to reprint all his books.
Of course, yeah. Well, we all know
that's
a great vehicle, yeah.
But it's instantaneous. You know, YouTube brings it forward. There's a couple of guys in Seattle that were doing kind of like different dances and different things on, you know, just to show off and stuff. They got attention from a dance studio to help kids learn who are maybe the rehabbing from a surgery, whatever, and helping kids how to, you know, get back into shape.
Well, America's Got Talent had a show just on MySpace of people uploading their talents YouTube onto MySpace.
Yeah, that's
it works.
How they've chosen.
YouTube is very...
Oh, it's powerful.
It's a connector.
Well,
it's a connector.
Well, that's what we're on, the internet. We're on YouTube.
Exactly,
Listen, I want to go back to back into politics a bit here, because everybody knows that Obama had a beer yesterday with Gates and the...
Did he have a real beer, or was it non-alcoholic beer?
I hope he had a real one. I think he had a Budweiser.
He normally doesn't drink.
I think
he said
he was going to have a Budweiser. Oh, he doesn't drink, huh? But I have to say that David Letterman last night had the top 10 things that were overheard during the meeting with Biden. Did you hear that? This was pretty funny. Okay, so here we are. And thank you, David Letterman, for giving us this and having a man on the scene there with his microphone extended way out and his binoculars or whatever. But anyway, according to David Letterman, these are the top 10 things. Number 10, don't worry, Biden will clean up the empties. That's number 10. Number 9 was, guys, stop me if I try to drunk dial Nancy Pelosi.
That's funny.
Yeah. Number 8 is, smoking, drinking, suddenly our president is Artie Lang.
That's good.
Yeah. I love this one. Number 7. Let's call Limbaugh and take this party to the next level. Okay, number 6 is, I feel dizzy and confused, just like Bush. Yahoo! Number 5 is, I don't want to freak anybody out, but I just saw Nixon walking down the hall.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's good. Number 4 is, tell Gethner to put his shirt on. Not sure who he is. Do you know who that is? I don't know. I'll have to look him up. Number 3, and this cracked me up. Senator Larry Craig asked if he could have his beer brought to the restroom.
Oh, no.
That's a bad one. Yeah. That's not so funny. Anyway, number 2 then is, you guys want to see where Clinton used to get freaky?
Okay.
Yeah, and last but not least, Obama says, excuse me while I take a presidential leak. Anyway, so thank you, David Letterman, for your humor. It's good. For those of you that didn't catch that last night, I just thought I would share that with you. So anyway.
He sat down with Gates and the lieutenant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what did they talk about?
Well, I don't think that was made public. I mean, it wasn't.
I want to hear.
Even though you could see them from across the lawn, they had photographers there videotaping it and stuff.
I saw that.
It was a confidential conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I think
as well it should be.
It should be. You're right.
What an opportune time to set an example on how to take care of conflict.
Yes.
To sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
And this is what the whole planet needs to learn how to do.
And
exactly.
Why was there so much and who cares about what beers they were drinking? There was a guy from Samuel Adams, the head beer master from Samuel Adams, that was on the news being interviewed because he wrote and said to the news stations he was so upset because they all chose foreign beers. Nobody chose an American beer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, come on, can we move past this a little bit? But yeah, you know, maybe in the future they'll be smoking dope on the White House lawn. You never know.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be a taste test of
Why
beers.
Yeah, but know? I mean, what, yeah, so anyway.
That's funny.
You're right, Juliet. But I think it's fantastic that we're... What a very spontaneous and inspirational idea to do that.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and I'm hoping that it did set an example.
I think
all joking aside about what you're drinking or smoking.
Yeah. Well, and you know, alcohol is used in celebration. That's an appropriate time. I mean, you know, they're working out a conflict, but hopefully
it's summertime. Roll up your sleeves, take your jacket off.
They were
I could tell they were diving into the peanuts on the table or whatever they were eating, snacks, beer and peanuts. You got to have those two together, you know. I thought it was fantastic, you know. The casualness, this is the one thing, and of course next week is Ion Obama, so join us for that. We'll really roll up our sleeves and dive into a lot of this.
We're going to work on a lot of things.
But I'm continually struck by the accessibility that I feel with this president. I feel like every day I get a view into him actively demonstrating, you know, and flexing new ways to be the president and go into, you know, going to all the town hall meetings and everything. I just think it's a great thing.
Yes.
I think it gives people a great deal of hope. And
you know, he was such an inspiration about the town hall meetings that now when the senators and congressmen they're on vacation in August, several of them are going out to their communities.
That's great.
Back home instead of taking a long vacation and having actual town hall meetings.
Yeah, that's they actually
Isn't
had.
That,
yeah,
that is the greatest inspiration. I think that's wonderful of our president.
Yeah,
and it inspired both Democrats and Republicans to do this.
Well, who was they showed that one on TV just last week? Who was the one that was doing a town hall meeting and got barked down by a birther?
Yes.
That was
I
a
saw
Republican.
That. I watched that
Remember
whole
him?
Meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a governor of one of the. Or was it a
It's a former governor, and he's a representative now.
Right. Yeah. That's what I thought in the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's an interesting. Yeah. The town hall meeting process, I think, is going to become kind of the thing to do now.
Yeah, I think
go
it's
back
fantastic.
To your own, you know,
well,
community.
It's time people got. You know, they need to build confidence back up with the American public, and I think the only way to do it is to get in there and answer questions.
Yeah.
You know, people want accountability, and we have this. You know, here's what we'll do, and we'll talk a little bit about it because we're going to go. You know, talk in deeper conversation about this Wednesday, but this whole thing that's surfacing now about the insurance companies backing the Republicans for fighting the health care reform bill. And, you know, it's really eroding the confidence of the public. I mean, we really are losing faith that, in fact, you know, the American people are in control of our government at all and that our desires and our wishes are actually being, you know, brought forth by the elected officials when we've got so much money going into lobbying and, you know, people who are you know, special interest groups and big business and insurance companies and drug companies controlling the outcome of,
yes,
of legislation. I think it's absurd. You talk about Sonia Sotomayor getting ridiculed by the Republicans for prejudice, possibility of prejudice with her coming on to the Supreme Court. For God's sakes, turn around and look at your own self, you know,
exactly,
your own party, how influenced you are and how corrupt you are with regard to your party not really, you know, representing the population and being in such states of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what do you think about that? You don't think?
I don't know, it's a big step when
you watch Rachel Maddow, you know, she's talking about the Republicans against the health care reform,
right?
And it's kind of like it's a deep complicated situation, but the basis of the whole thing is this organization called the Lewin Group,
right?
They are a consulting firm to all the health care organizations, every section, hospitals, doctors, whatever, and they charge. They charge everyone in the healthcare industry to get a consult. That's just the base. That's the beginning of it. So there's a conflict of interest with the Republican Party and the Lewin Group,
right,
for healthcare to reform it. In other words, you can't reform it if you're dipping, kind of like double dipping.
It's like insider trading.
Exactly.
I mean, really, what it
exactly
is. You know,
well, it kind of, it reminds me of VP Cheney when he has Halliburton.
Yeah.
He gives them the the budget for doing whatever they have to do in Iraq.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's like an insider trading.
Well, it's all big business, you know. I mean, the truth is the world is really ruled by money.
Yeah. And healthcare
should
not be ruled by money.
And it's not. This doesn't have any boundaries. There are, you know, the United States is very influenced by what's going on in money that's all around the world. And, you know,
yes,
don't think for a minute. And what we talk about is the enormous wealth of the insurance companies.
Yes.
And a lot of this wealth is not even in the United States. It's,
right.
You've talked about that yourself, you know, Juliet,
yes,
how it's offshore investments.
Yes. Oh,
and
definitely.
Hidden,
well,
offshore.
Well, hidden, I don't know about that, but I know that they've invested $400 billion in tobacco.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah,
right.
And that's about exactly what the healthcare is short, the
yeah
exact same amount of money. So,
mm-hmm, yeah,
you know, in the healthcare industry, I mean, health insurance companies, I don't know about all of them, but I would say the good portion of them, it's the bottom line is money, and the bottom line mm-hmm needs to be health care.
Exactly.
And not money.
That's
and
right.
It is the whole system is based on how much everything costs, and it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the drug companies are in favor of the new health care.
Exactly.
The health care reform.
Oh, really? Wow.
AMA is
mm-hmm
now,
yes,
and
yes,
and Nurses Association and mm-hmm drug companies,
mm-hmm,
and that's big. That's
well,
big.
Yeah, back to tying this into what we were saying is that, you know, we've said this show after show after show after show, and that is that, you know, I always implore anyone listening, if they're getting angry about something, I hope some of what we talk about makes you really angry, because I hope it gets you
yes
angry enough that you go do some personal research on what's going on. And the only way we can create change is through getting angry enough that we demand that things be different, and that we make sure that the people that we're putting into elected positions and offices for these jobs go in and actually do represent us instead of their own, their own personal opinions around things or their special interests. And, you
yes
know, we have to have accountability, and there is no place to hide anymore. Things are coming out
mm-hmm
into the light. The
mm-hmm
Republican Party is crumbling because it is being shown for
yes
really revealed for what it is. And they're
so
going to have to, you know, really, truly, I mean, that's what it is. And I'm not just saying the Democrats are all hail the Democrats.
No.
I'd love to see a brand new party surface in all of this and
mm-hmm
be, you know, more about human rights and honest, you know, some integrity
right
and honesty behind
right
it, you know.
Well, and with Sarah Palin resigning, and she is at the top of the Republican Party, and she's even resigned.
Mm-hmm. And Rush Limbaugh, yeah, but
mm-hmm
even though he's not an elected
mm-hmm
official.
Well, more
yeah
and more
yeah
we're
yeah
gonna we're gonna I
yeah
think the public will demand transparency with or without President Obama. The public's going to, I think there's a lot of power in the people, the collective consciousness here, and
mm-hmm
we're tired.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired of being used and abused by insurance companies
mm-hmm
and look at all the natural disasters that have happened, including health care.
Mm-hmm.
That's what costs people to lose their homes.
Mm-hmm.
We have
yeah
to pay for it out of our pocket, and that should not be the case.
Yeah, you know,
especially when you have a group that's kind of a, they, you know what the Lewin Group calls themselves? They call themselves brokers.
Yeah, well, does that ring a bell right there?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm, so yeah. Use that word broker. I mean, I went to their website, and they call themselves brokers.
Yeah, yeah. In the last 10 minutes that we have, I'd like to stay in the political arena, but kind of tie some of these things that we've talked about here together a little bit with regard to, you know, programs being slashed. And also, in the past, we've talked about the Guantanamo Bay. You know, we didn't, you know, about what to do and it's being closed or not. And then we talk about the budget cuts. We certainly talked about that with regard to the state of California. But, you know, and we're following along. Remember, Arlene, how you suggested that one town that had the federal prison in Montana,
they said they were
willing to accept 200 of the Gitmo detainees to bring them into their prison system because that would really help bolster their economy, their local economy and whatnot. You know, that some of the news topics coming along this last week have to do with the prison system in the United States, with several states targeting prisons with regard to their own states' budgets and cutting programs.
Right.
And I found that really odd because I was struck by the reality of the situation that so many prisons across the United States are in trouble right now. First of all, we have issues with overcrowding, but now on top of everything else, they're going ahead and trying to cut back programs.
Right.
And then here we are entertaining. In another paper, they're talking about, bringing the prospect of really raising the likelihood of bringing some of these detainees from Guantanamo Bay into the United States prison system. So wait a minute, you know, we're saying on one hand, we're cutting back all the programs and the safety is in question perhaps at some point because they're going to have fewer guards.
Right.
They're doubling up in the cells for people who, you know, because they just don't have space. They're cutting out the rehabilitation programs for some of the people who have addiction problems. They're cutting out the GED equivalent programs for them. So, you know, they're slashing. They're talking about cutting back visitation rights. They're stopping they want to cut back tower supervision. They're going to just parole in cars around the edges of the prisons. So many cuts going on. They want to do lockdown so they can have fewer staff watching over all the inmates because they figure if they've got them locked in their cells more during the day, they'll have to have fewer people. So, again, it's just like I said earlier, the poor people are being, you know.
We're hearing the contradictions going on. We want to take, like Montana, that particular town in Montana, they need their jail filled. I mean, their prisons, it's half empty. And it would bring...
Well, that's good news.
It is, but they would also, if they can put some of the Guantanamo guys there, it would help with the local employment, you know, to hire out the guards, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Now everybody talks about cuts. Well, this is confusing for our public to hear both opposite stories, you know?
Yeah.
And where do we go with this, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
It just makes me want to think they should do what they're doing in the Philippines. You know, if they want to do cut all these other things and bring in dancing, what a great way to rehab. That would give give some people jobs. And then when you let them out, they may be probably less chance of reoffending because they're gonna be on their path towards healing.
Well, you know, that's a whole other thing. For example, look at this. I'm just re looking at this article here, and it says in Kansas the prison in Kansas, said that their staff that was hired for a sex offender treatment program shut down.
Oh, wow.
They closed that down. A drug and alcohol addictions shut down. Vocational welding program shut down. GED program shut down. Not to mention the risk that you put with these guys who are the guards, having to guard more people.
Exactly.
And they worried. They said, you know, it's just a bomb waiting to go off.
Yeah.
You know,
something's
going to happen.
You're creating monsters by doing that.
Mm. And so, you know, you're right. I wonder, Juliet, if we should get into proposing restructuring the system where we have private investors who buy the prison system and get it out of the hands of the government.
Like privatize it?
Privatize the prison system.
Well, many prisons are privatized.
I'd love to go see which ones and what they're doing, how they're handling the rehabilitation programs, you know, and trying to get some of these things solved in different ways. You know what? Who keeps using that phrase? It says, I think it was Einstein who said, you know, you can't fix a problem by thinking in the same ways that created the problem in the first place.
That's true.
Yeah, and I think that we need some really break the box, break the mold, rethinking about a lot of these issues, because, you know, it's not just California that's going bankrupt, you know, or having financial problems. This is an ongoing problem everywhere.
Yes.
Why are we running in the red so much everywhere all around the world?
Every state in the union is in the red.
Yeah, and
every state, no matter where they are.
Yeah,
I mean,
problems.
In the sense of how much.
Well, if it's the crash of the old paradigm, I'm all for it. But
don't you think, you guys, isn't that what this is? We're watching the old have to move on, and we have to reconstruct into the new. And we have a transition period where there's crises right now. Where are we going to get the money? So it's the old paradigm leaving, the new coming in. It's over time. I mean.
But you know what I'm going to leave here, because we're about 1 minute before closing off the show.
Okay.
What I'd like to say here and introduce is, I've always said this with every show,
yes,
is think of this, empower yourself. Don't despair. This
right.
is a chance for you to rethink and to get yourself into a mindset where you can take charge and imagine the world being different. And it's you who's going to create the future,
exactly, the
youth or whomever. And so, you know, start trying on for size some of the concepts that can help pull us out of the muck. It's not going to happen by itself. It's going to take
an angry
group to, you know, bring about the change. So anyway,
yes.
I'm inviting you to that. And we'll look forward to talking with everyone next week on next Friday's new show. If you have anyone that you want to listen to this show, we'll be playing a portion of it anyway, the first hour of it, next Monday morning, always at 8 a.m. on Contact Talk Radio. The podcast will be also available to you probably within an hour or two on the Wellness Roadshow website. If you'd like to recommend this show to any of your friends or think about what we said and re-listen, and we always love to hear from you, please give us a call or write us on the website and let us know your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Juliet, thank you again for a great show.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah,
thank you so much
for a great show.
Take care.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll enjoy more 80-degree weather than 108. And there you go. So bye-bye for now,
okay,
everyone.